Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Father, we thank you. We love you. We're grateful for you and grateful for your word, God. Grateful that we get to dive into your scriptures to learn about you, to learn about your son, God, to see how you work through him, to do some incredible miracles, Father, and to inspire us and know, God, that you are still working today, Father. And I pray, God, that you will be with me as I preach your word, God, but be with every single one of us, God, that we may be able to really receive what you have for us today. Take it. Be inspired, convicted, challenged by it, encouraged by it, and be able to put it into practice. Father, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 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 All right, let's turn over to John chapter 2. You know, I was thinking and praying about what miracle do I want to preach about? What miracle do I want to preach about? And I'm asking God, and I was at a coffee shop, and I'm overhearing some pastors talking about a certain miracle about Jesus turning water to wine. I said, oh, okay, that's a coincidence. I'm thinking about miracles. They're talking about this miracle and the insight they got. And like, okay, I go home that day. I'm like, honey, I'm thinking about what miracles I should preach about. And my wife goes, well, I don't usually do this, but let's go ahead and keep the party going. And I said, okay, I know exactly what you're talking about. It was confirmation. If y'all don't know about that, you may be a little too young, but don't go back and look it up. Kings of Comedy, D.L. Hughley. It's like, I went back and watched it. I couldn't even watch all the way through. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, there's some stuff you thought was funny in the time, and you're like, this was really bad. Like, it was really bad. But we get to go into the scriptures today and learn about this miracle. John chapter 2, starting in verse 1. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now. What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I love me some Jesus. I love Jesus because he's so dynamic. There's so many different sides to him, and I love trying to figure him out. It's hard to do it, but it's fun to try. It's just fun. And that's what I felt like as I read the scripture. I'm like, what's going on here, Jesus? And I just had fun. Yes, I had fun studying my Bible. And, you know, we've had some intense sermons about Jesus. You know, last time I was preaching, we talked about the warrior Jesus. So there was some intense, it's been some intense sermons. Today we're going to have a little bit of fun with fun Jesus. Amen. Can Jesus be fun? Can church be fun? Can Jesus laugh? Was that okay? Why so serious? Sometimes we are so serious, man. I was researching this thing, and I looked up videos just to see. And there was this video about this scene. And, man, the party felt like a funeral. They were all whispering to each other. It was all doom and gloom. It was like, oh, my gosh, this is so sad. I'm like, this is so depressing. And people really try to over-spiritualize everything. And so it's like, they I studied this out. people got all types of stuff from this simple story. Like, for example, you know what? First things first, you better have Jesus at your wedding. You know what I mean? It's just stuff like that. Like, is that really what he was trying to say here? You know, Jesus had been taken out of weddings. Jesus needs to be at your wedding. Okay, that may be the case, but I'm going to try not to over-spiritualize and make things super religious. But for me, this thing is so hilarious in my head. I don't know about you, but when I read the scriptures, I try to have some creative freedom because it only gives you so much, so you really got to put yourself into it and say, okay, what was this really like? So let's have a little, you know what, I'm too dressed up. I'm too dressed up for fun Jesus today. Let me put this over here. I'm too dressed up. We're going to get a little casual today. Is that okay? Too dressed up, too hot for fun Jesus today, okay? All right, so first off, Jesus goes to a party. look, some of y'all love this, boy. I just started something today. Jesus went to a party. This is a Jewish wedding celebration, a Jewish wedding reception. These are the type of folks that lift people up in chairs in the crowd and dance around with them. Now you thought you were a party animal. Those folks were bouncing people up in chairs. They're smashing glass. Yeah, that's part of the tradition. They put glass in a sack. They smash the glass. These folks were partying. And let me tell you something. I don't know about your Jesus, but my Jesus is cool. I'm sorry. Jesus at the party, he wasn't lame. Number one, he didn't come by himself. Now, if you go to a party by yourself, you may be lame. But he said, me and my boy, he brought his boys. He said, listen, I'm coming. Hey, fella, what y'all doing today? We got this wedding. We're going to go hang out. I think Jesus had hangability. I really think he did. Now, there is, like, for men to want to hang out with Jesus, regular guys now, to hang out with Jesus, he had to have some hangability. Now, what was Jesus doing at this party? What do people do at a party? Think Jesus was dancing at the party? You think Jesus was, you think so? You think Jesus was dancing with women? Oh, hold up now. To the pure, all things are pure. Can you see Jesus? Hey, we're just going to say, cousin so-and-so. Can you imagine Jesus inviting you to the dance floor? Jesus walking up to you. He was looking out for his cousin, his sister. You know what I'm saying? We teach the brothers, be giving, right? If you see the sisters off on the side, man, engage with them, encourage them. Why didn't Jesus encourage the ladies there? All right now. I was talking to my mom, you know what scripture my mom brought out? Yeah, David danced. And you know how he danced. And I gotta say this. I did not grow up Catholic. My family was Catholic in Puerto Rico. They had a big statue of Mary in a glass case outside the house on their balcony. Because on the inside, all types of stuff was happening. So Sister Mary couldn't be on the inside of that Sister Mary had the balcony. Now I did not grow up Catholic. I do not mean to, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but Sister Mary was still kind of young. Sister Mary now, she wasn't 50, because she had Jesus when she was a teenager, and Jesus was 30 at this point. So at this point, you know, Sister Mary was a widow. Joseph had passed away, you know, so what was Mary doing at the party? How long had it been since Joseph passed? I don't know. Can you imagine? All right, now, party people, it's time for the garter toss. Let me get all the single ladies out to the dance floor. All her girls, come on, Mary, come on. You got to get out there this time. Last time you ain't do it. Come on, let's get out there. She walk out there. You know what I'm saying? You know, the ones that act like they don't want to be there, they're the ones that really want to be there. Jesus over there struggling off to the side, like, man. But, I mean, think about it. You remember your first kingdom party? It was like, y'all party? It's going to be lame. I'm going to go because they want me to go, but it's going to be. And then it was lit. It was like, what? Christians can have a good time? Man, don't give Christians a good DJ. Boy, don't give parents babysitting and a good DJ. I'm telling you, especially at receptions, we be like, all right, baby, we finna go. Joanna. I'm like, hold on, we back on the dance floor. We supposed to be leaving. Oh, don't worry, baby, since she's spending the night tonight, we finna be here. But I mean, it's like you wake up the next day, you're like, I had so much fun. Wait, I don't feel guilty? I didn't sin? Was that sin? No, I didn't sin. This is amazing. And so I think, you know, we got to embrace fun Jesus. We got to embrace fun Jesus too, all right? All right, so what happened then? They out there partying, all of a sudden, you know, the wine. They go, you know how when you, that's the worst, man. When you run out of food or drink at a party, it's like people are like, man, there's no water, there's no punch. There's no more wine. They start talking. You know, the mood starts to go down a little bit. And Mayor's like, man, what's up, man? If they ran out of wine, these folks were drinking. And it seems to say they ran out of wine after Jesus brought his homeboys there. So his homeboys, I told his homeboy. Where's Dr. Jackson? I said homeboys, Jackson. I'm sorry. I said it. He was there with his boys. They start drinking. And so, now this was really bad. This was bad. If you run out of wine, this was something that people would always remember. This is something that would just be a part of your history forever. This is something that people would gossip about, right? So, you know, because wine represented gladness and joy. So in the Jewish tradition, you know, if you ran out of wine, you know, they'd be like, oh, you heard so-and-so ran out of wine? You know, the ladies at the salon, you know, that's when, you know, so-and-so. See, that means something right there. Mm-mm. They ran out of wine. Mm-mm. That means something. Somebody ain't happy in that marriage. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I saw it. She ain't look right. Mm-mm. Joy was missing. Mm-mm. It ain't right. They were talking about her. And mom was trying to look out. There's a good chance this could have been a family thing. Or maybe, you know, their family member who's getting married, somehow related to the Jesus family. So, you know, there's a good chance that happened. And so Mary, you know, was trying to come to the rescue. And I love this because she just, the way I see it, Jesus is hanging with his boys, and she just walks by with her water. Jesus, you know they ran out of wine. You know what Jesus is like. Jesus is grown, but he's still like, he starts whining. That's how I see it. Woman, why are you telling me? I'm trying to dance. I'm trying to hang out. What do I got to do with me? That's what Jesus said. Now, his response tells you exactly what he knew she meant. She ain't say do a miracle, but she said do a miracle. You know, I'd be thinking like, she knew. She knew. You wonder what happened behind closed doors in the Jesus household? You know, did your parents ever do this to you, like your mom is laying down, like, and you're like, she's upstairs in her room. You're like downstairs in the basement. She called for you. Baby, come on up here, baby. Yes, mama. Can you give me that remote? You'll be like, I came all the way up here for that. You know, Jesus was like, baby, poof, the remote was in her hand. She was like, thank you, baby. Baby, oh man, my hair just, baby, I need to get my nails did, my hair done. Jesus, you know it's been about 3 weeks, Jesus. Poof, he's like, thank you, Jesus. Baby, can you run to the store, baby? Baby, we ran out of eggs, baby. Poof, you know the chicken just start laying eggs. Mary knew something. Mary knew something. Jesus had been hooking mama up. So Jesus knew this tone of voice. Jesus knew this look in her eye. He knew what she was talking about. And he tried to put up a little fight, you know. Man, 30 years old, but you can still, you know, she's still mama. Come on now. This ain't my time. Mama, I told you about this. I'm waiting for my father. I don't know. Okay. I raised you, though. You know what I mean? It's like So, you know, she's so about it. She don't even say nothing to him. He puts up a fight. She don't even say nothing. She walks by the service like, just do what he tells you to do. You know what I mean? Like, that's gangster Mary. I don't mean to disrespect anybody, but that's gangster. He just walked away. So just do what he tell you to do. Now, there is a lesson in that. Some of us just need to do what Jesus tells us to do. There's something simple in that. Just, I wouldn't go over-spiritualize it, but just do what he tells you to do. Our life would be a lot better. Amen. So, you know, he tells them, go ahead and grab those jars right there. And the big ones, yeah, the big, really big ones, 30 gallons? Service like, oh, man. And go get them, yeah, grab those, put some water in it. They fill it up to the top. They say, all right, now go take it to the master of ceremony, to the event planner. Go give him some. He tastes it. He's like, man, this is amazing. And don't say nothing, he tells them. Don't say nothing now. And nobody knows except only a few people. His mom knew, the servants knew, his disciples knew. And it says that it revealed his glory to them. And because of that, they followed him. They put their faith in him. They believed in him. I had a few questions as I read this, like serious questions. Like, for example, like why did Jesus do this in the first place? Like, this is his first miracle. Why turn water into wine? Nobody was dying. Nobody was blind. You know, nobody had to get resurrected. I mean, it seems to me like, okay, people may have been a little annoyed and people may have been gossiped about, but this was not a life or death serious thing, right? And then, why did he do it, even though he said it wasn't his time? You ever think about that? He said, it's not my time, and then he did it. Why? I don't know. Did he change his mind? Did he just do it to please his mom? Was that out of respect? Why? And then why so much wine? This is like 630 gallon jars. That's 180 gallons. That's about 682 liters. A standard bottle of wine is about 750 milliliters. That comes out to about 908 bottles of wine. It's like they would never run out. Like, they're good. They're good. They're good for the next wedding and the wedding after that. No more anxiety about, man, who's drinking and how much, and did we plan for all this? Did we budget for these folks to come? You know, we only budgeted for this many people now. They were trying to bring these people. No, no more anxiety. No more checking the barrels. They were good. Good, good. And not only was it a whole lot of wine, it was the best wine. I'm talking about this was the wine from the grapes of the Garden of Eden good. I'm talking about Jesus brought the wine from Adam and Eve time. Like, this is what it was supposed to be like. Y'all go ahead and drink up. Now, I'm going to give you my answers to two of these questions. All right. What I studied out, why did he do this, and why did he do it like this? The other question about his timing, why did he do it at that time, even though it wasn't his time? Now, I'm going to give you that answer at another time, all right? Y'all with me? Yeah. So you don't have to come back for that one. Now let's talk about this miracle, turning water to wine. In the Bible, wine is a sign of God's blessing. And, you know, just because people abuse it doesn't mean that it takes away what it's intended to be in the scriptures. And really, and study it out. Wine, in many cases, an abundance of wine demonstrates the abundance of God's blessings. So I know all you wine lovers out there loving this, boy. You're like, yeah, I told you. We good. I'm finna drink tonight. But you wine lovers out there, have a great quiet time. Y'all gonna have some great quiet times this week. Study it out. Study it out. Why abundance of wine demonstrates an abundance of God's blessing. So why this miracle in this way? I believe it's because of his extravagant generosity. Extravagant generosity. Now, this was going to be the title of my sermon, Extravagant Generosity, but I said it's too serious sounding. So then I thought, you know, let's just say, you know what the young folks said, oh, he extra. Now, I know that's a bad thing, but we're going to flip it on him today, okay? So really, that's what I thought about. The fun Jesus, he extra in a good way. Can Jesus be extra in a good way? You know, people say he be doing too much. Well, yeah, like in a good way. Like Jesus be doing too much in a good way. So I said, nah, he extra isn't good enough. Like, let's say he too extra. So that's the title of the day. He too extra. Let me hear you say, he too extra. He too extra. Too extra. What does this mean? That Jesus is a giver. And he's not just the giver of joy, for example. He's the giver of abundant joy. He's not just the giver of hope. He's the giver of abundant hope. He's not just the giver of life. He's the giver of abundant life. He says that Jesus came to bring life and give life to the full, abundant life. You know, God did this in the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know there was only one tree they couldn't eat from? It wasn't two trees, one good one, one bad one. It was, don't eat from this tree. You can have anything else you want. That's called abundance. He too extra. You're talking about Abraham. You're not just going to be a father. You're going to be a father of many nations. Your descendants are going to be like that like the sand on the seashore. Well, he too extra. You're talking about the Israelites. The Israelites, oh, you want bread? Oh, you want quail? They had so much quail. They had quail coming out of their nose, the scripture says. Boy, he too. And then you talk about the disciples. Remember when he was feeding the 5,000? Five loaves of bread, two fish. They walked away with 12 basketfuls, leftovers. Boy, he too. Now, I'm not saying it's always like this. I'm not saying this is the only part of his character. Right? People go to the other extreme and teach prosperity gospel, and if this is not always in abundance for you, there's something wrong with you. But we can't negate this character of Jesus because people are using it in the wrong way, right? Now, I'm sharing this because this is a part of his character that I got to remind myself of. There's parts of his character where we have deep conviction on. There's part that we really have to remind ourselves of, and this is one of them for me. I know he wants to meet my needs, but the extra? I don't know about that. I don't know about you. I grew up without a lot. When you grow up without a lot, you ration everything. I'm talking about you break paper towels in two. One for you, one for your brother. I'm talking about laundry. You just wore that for the, that ain't dirty. You smell it. If it don't smell too bad, because you can't be wasting money on detergent like that. Don't know if it don't smell bad, put it back. That was your pajamas. You can wear the pajamas 2 days, 3 days in a row. Pajamas are good. Ball and shorts, you ain't play basketball in them. They good. You just hang around the house. Now, if you play basketball, put them in the hamper. Look, he laughed because he know. And food, listen, when I get an entree, I try to get two meals. $20 for an entree, that's two meals, that's $10. Oh, that's real good. I did good. I got two meals. I still have a hard time finishing anything. Because when I grew up, single mom, I'm the oldest of three boys, I felt bad finishing anything. Because I want somebody else to have it. I felt bad taking the last of something. I remember making salami sandwiches. One piece of salami. One piece of cheese. I felt bad. But every once in a while, I was really, I'm going to get two pieces. But never three. I never had three pieces of salami on my sandwich. So, you know, I'm teaching my daughter to get ready for school, how she could do it, make her own sandwich. You can only imagine my expression. I came down from upstairs, and I'm seeing this. I said, hold up. His sister got 2 pieces of salami, 2 pieces of cheese, and then she put 2 pieces of turkey on that thing. I don't know. Part of me was like, hold up. You only ate. Like, that should be a rite of passage. But the other side of me was like, mama, we made it, baby. My baby can have as much salami as she wants. But I've been wrestling with this, y'all. Like, do I even deserve extra? Should I even ask for extra? You know, a few weeks ago, we got word that, we've been trying to get this church building that, you know, things got really delayed. With this church building. A few weeks ago, we found out that our partners and investors said, you know, this isn't the right time. So we're not ready to go in on purchasing this building. And so the charter school that we were trying to get for 2020, it didn't go through. And so now they're pushing and trying to get it for 2021. But it means that everything's getting pushed back. And at that time, just everything stalled out. Stuff just started happening, and God just closed the door for right now. He just said, right now, it's not the time. And we talked to the folks over there. They said, yeah, Chapel Hill, the church that's in there, they're going to try to buy the building again. If they don't, then, hey, we'll make it available to you guys again. And I was struggling. I'm like, man, we done did the circle maker challenge. These folks were circling the building like Jericho. We taking pictures. We got T-shirts. Man, I just knew God was going to move. At this time, how I saw it happening, it's going to be amazing. And so it was tough. And so, you know, I share this because I want us to go on this faith journey together. And if I leave this part out of the process, then I'm going to set you up to struggle because you're going to be like, well, everything good happened to him. But why is this happening to me? This is just called life. There's things we really feel like God is calling us to do, that he's opening up doors and he's giving you signs. And it's like, yes, 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 yes. No. Or not right now. And I don't know if it's going to be no or not right now. All I know is the door has closed for now. And it's during those times, for me, my faith takes a little bit of a hit. It just does. And although in the moment I'm like, well, good, now I know we can start looking at other places and, you know, I can move forward. But still, it's like, see, I knew I shouldn't ask for extra. And so for me, I got to go back to the scriptures, read passages like this and say, wait, who is God? Who is Jesus? What is his character? And then, you know what God does? God not only allows you to understand his promises, read about his miracles, remind of his character, but then God does stuff to help you bring the scriptures to life. What some may say, modern day miracles. You know, something specifically for you. You ever feel like God did something just for you? Like you're studying something out and then he just does something that's like confirmation, like, wow. God, you are so real. So let me tell you a little story about what happened this week. This is the fourth year we've been helping with North Clayton Athletics, especially with the football team. That's how we met Coach Moreno, his wife Stacy. They became disciples. Now Coach Moreno is at Central Gwinnett. He's coaching there. He's been reaching out to his coaches. And so they said this year we're like, man, we're going to do some pregame meals just to serve the schools. And it was cool because this past Friday, Northway Vision, their small group, supported the team, Central Gwinnett, and went out there and brought post-game meal, loved up on them, encouraged them. So it was great. Shout out to Northway Vision for doing that, loving up on the community in that way. On the south side, this Friday was North Clayton's homecoming. And this was one of the games that we wanted to make special for the kids. So in the preseason, I told Coach Cap, hey, we want to help out. We have it in our budget. We want to help out with hopefully get 2 pregame meals this year. One, you know, for the special ones, homecoming, one for senior night. Okay, so say, okay, great. How many people? So we're budgeting. We're trying to make sure this happens. And what happens is that at our scrimmage before the season starts, we played a school, Trinity Christian School. And they're down in Coweta County, down the street from my house. Daryl, the guy FCA that we recognized that at the back to school bash, he goes to church there. And so we were there having a, you know, just playing our game, and he brings over his pastor of the Trinity Church, and he's also the head of school. His name's Mark Anthony. You always remember that name, Mark Anthony. He's not Spanish, but it's Mark Anthony, hey. And what ended up happening was after that, he told Daryl, he said, hey, we want to sponsor a pregame meal, okay? And we want to bring our church members along to cheer on your team. Okay, now that is amazing. I've never seen that in sports, especially in high school football in Georgia, to take your team and your members to go cheer on another team. And he said, we want to do it on homecoming. We want to do it on homecoming. It just so happened that it was their bye week, their off week, so they can bring everybody to the to College Park for homecoming. And what they did is they lined up outside the door to the locker room, and they cheered on the kids. Check out this video. I had never seen anything like this. Man, I was holding back the tears. I had never seen anything like it. I mean, even for a church in the suburbs, yeah, they'll give money. But to come down there and to cheer them on, I was like, I'm in a football game. I can't be crying. There's no crying in football. I'm like, I'm holding it back because this just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in sports. It was just so crazy that people thought, they were in the stands and they were so deep, people thought, they're like, these folks, they were mad because they thought they were with North Druid Hills, with Druid Hills High School. But they just didn't want to walk to the visitor side. That's how different this is. Like, you're not supposed to be sitting here cheering for us, and yet they were. And so, on top of that, they brought pregame meal. Daryl had told them to bring food for 70. We got 28 kids that dressed, and a few coaches, and a few character coaches. So, we had leftovers, a lot of leftovers. So many leftovers that the band came in and ate. The cheerleaders came in and ate. Wow. Looking out for the band, my, yes. And then after the game, then they had post-game meal. Now, they usually have pre-game meal. It's usually like a Subway sandwich, Chick-fil-A sandwich, some water. You good to go. That's had the battle. Post-game, so they had pre-game meal. And Pastor Mark told them, hey, if y'all win, you get pizza. Now, they were going to get pizza anyway, but we won. And you know how to motivate young men. He said, let's go get these pizza boxes. He said, we got 30 pizza boxes for 28 kids. I'm talking about, they not only they had pizza boxes, I'm talking about they had Krispy Kreme donuts. The box, the ones in a box, like the fundraiser ones. Take a box, not a donut. Take a box. Take all the pizza you want. Take a box of donuts. Oh, by the way, we got cookies. Football shaped cookies. Take some cookies too. This is Ricky. Ricky is so happy. It was so many leftovers. Jamal, our folks, the chain crew got pizza. Everybody got to take stuff home. Now, I told you about myself, how I am. I'm looking at all this food. I talked to Coach Cap. I said, Coach Cap, I'm so grateful. This could have lasted for about a month. We could have done the pizza this week. We could have done the cookies next week. We could have done the donuts after that. We could have let it spread. But then I was like, I was sitting there. I was just elated. I'm looking at these boys. They were so happy. They were so happy. I'm talking about there's nobody being mad about people being greedy. There's nobody counting slices. You get two and you go. There's nobody looking at each other like, you got three, hold up. I'm talking about somebody dropped the pizza. Nobody was mad. They were like, let me go get some more. And I'm like, these kids don't ever get to experience this. I don't ever get to experience like that. I don't know if I get to experience something like that. And there were leftovers. I brought home a Krispy Kreme donut box. But I thought about it. I said, you know what? This is how Jesus must have felt when he saw his family and friends enjoying the rest of the party that night. Just sitting there watching, being able to be the provider, seeing them. They don't even know where it came from. They just know that, you know what, it's here. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to have a good time. And I feel like that's how Jesus felt that night. He was just celebrating the blessings of his Father in heaven and watching them celebrate the blessings of their Father in heaven. You know, this whole time when I'm watching them, I'm being fed spiritually. My Father was reminding me, I got you. I love you. I've taken care of your needs. But I love seeing you enjoy your life. I love seeing you laugh. I love seeing you dance. I love seeing you eat and be happy. Parents love seeing their kids happy. I love being extra. You wanted a pregame meal. I provided a banquet. That's what we had set up for. Just get these kids something special. And he said, you know what? I'm gonna be extra. You gave me 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. I gave you a banquet. You got leftovers. Trust me, I got you. And the scripture started coming to mind. Do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest. A harvest in abundance if you do not give up. And to him who is able to do immeasurably, exceedingly more than we can ever ask or imagine. He too. I said he too. Those are the scriptures that came to mind. As I was studying this out and meditating on this story in my own life, God began to remind me how extra he's been in my life. I just started looking around. I was like, man, you know, the first thing that came to mind was my wife. The first person that came to mind was my wife. I said, well, you're too extra, God. I had to text her in the moment. I said, you know, I asked God before I was a Christian, a sinful young dude. I said, I just want a good girl, somebody I can bring home to mama. I said, okay, you want a good girl, I'm going to give you a godly woman. Well, he too. I'll talk about, he gave me somebody that's going to love God more than me. Somebody's going to put my needs before hers, my kids' needs before hers. I'm like, wow. You know, this week, I want you to think about how God has been too extra in your life. Just think about it. Meditate on that. Because Satan wants to undermine his character. Satan wants to take situations that God is intending for good. He has a plan. He has a purpose. But we're struggling through it. And Satan wants to undermine his character. Is he really like that? I know he did all that and you know, all that wine to the people and all that. But is he really like that for you? We know he can, but will he for you? And so we need to sit back and meditate. Okay, how has he been too extra in my life? Write it down this week. Share it with somebody else this week. Don't keep it to yourself. Amen. As we close out, we know that that Jesus is too extra when it comes to his grace. Well, I'm so grateful. Amen. His grace never runs out. Day after day, his mercies are new every morning. The blood that was shed on the cross is a symbol of that grace. It just flows and flows and flows. It forgives us of our sin over and over again. And right now, as we take communion, we remember that sacrifice. We remember the sacrifice that he made so that we can be forgiven over and over and over again. So we take communion. We eat the bread that signifies the broken body of Jesus. We drink the wine, this juice that you're about to drink, that represents the blood of Christ. And I just want to leave you with this. Could it be that the abundance of wine at the wedding could represent the blood of Jesus which now makes it possible for the bride, us, his church, to marry our groom, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you so much, God. We thank you for Jesus. We are so grateful that you show us your character. God, that no matter what experiences we've had in our lives, no matter the heartbreak, the disappointment, the challenges, you are still you. And we thank you that you are so dynamic. And you are a warrior, but you're also fun Jesus. Like, thank you, God, that you're so real and that you made Jesus so real and so real to us, that you would care about a bride and groom and that they ran out of wine, and that today, even today, we can see your character, your extravagant generosity. And we can see how you want that and show us that part of your character to us. Thank you for showing that to us on the cross as Jesus died for our sin, as his blood was spilled. Thank you so much for reminding us that your grace is abundant, that it's not going to run out, that we are good. We are good for eternity. Thank you, God. Thank you so much. God, remind us of your extravagance. Remind us of the ways you are just too extra in our lives, especially now as we meditate on you. Bless this cracker that represents the body of Christ. Bless this juice that represents the blood of Jesus, that we may glorify you today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.